having this small hub of people who are genuinely interested in what you do, nothing beats that.
Hey Tom, welcome to On The Go with Manav. Thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me, Manav. I'm very, very excited.
So for people that do not know, could you please tell us a bit more about yourself?
Of course. Yes. My name is Tom. I am from a little town on the south coast called Eastbourne, and I live in London, lived here for about 6 years, working slightly as an actor for a little while, but mainly now as a travel blogger, a travel content creator in the online world.
Very, very exciting stuff. So let's go back in time to, you know, your interest in travel. When did this sort of passion of travel begin?
Do you know what? I think it always was there. Like, we didn't go on too many family holidays when I was younger, but I think I can pinpoint two particular trips that were very influential in making me want to do this more. One of them was quite a sad situation, and the other one didn't actually happen, but I'll tell you what they both were.
Please do.
The first one came about when I was 13 years old. I was at school one day, and this is going to be quite a heavy start to the podcast. My nan had a heart attack, and she was in Spain at the time, and she was okay in the end, so don't worry. But she was in Spain, in Malaga. My dad had just had a hernia operation, and so he wasn't able to fly out. And so we wanted someone to be with her, and my aunt and uncle went over separately. And so I went on my own. My mum dropped me off at the airport to go and see my nan. And that excitement of being at the airport on my own and going on this adventure kind of set that fire alight in me, I suppose, in some way. That was the first trip. The following year, I was speaking to someone who had just come back from Japan, and they were talking about it. I think they were teaching English over there. At 14, I wasn't really kind of too clued up on the whole working visa situation, but the way they spoke about the country, the beauty, the culture, really, really fascinated me. And one thing particular that I feel like Japan has an advantage over maybe us in some way is that everything looks like artwork. All the signs that you'd see on the wall, which maybe say, like, I don't know, exit, or even like toilet or restroom, the way that it's written in the Japanese characters, I think is just beautiful. And I think that was one particular motivation in me wanting to go and visit. Anyway, but this trip that I'm talking about, I planned a whole adventure after going to see my nan in Spain. That solo travel thing, I don't know, there was something about it that I wanted to explore more. So I planned this whole week's trip to Japan completely on my own. And obviously being 14 and my nan wasn't over there and had a heart attack, so there was no real reason for me to go. There was no money for me to do it. But I did this whole itinerary of a week flying out there. I even called up the hotel that I wanted to stay at to make sure that it was okay to to stay there as a 14-year-old boy. And they were completely fine with it, or they said they were anyway. But of course, that didn't happen. And I still, to this point, haven't been to Japan. It's definitely something on my list. I had dreams of climbing Mount Fuji. That's something that still stays with me.
Well, I believe in manifestation. So I hope you do manifest that trip to come to life very, very soon.
Well, let's hope so. Manifestation. I've been manifesting it for over nearly 15 years now. So it's going to go through at some point.
Okay. So that was what you were doing at 14. Now, what were you doing at 18? I mean, typically people usually be graduating from high school, starting an apprenticeship, or going to university. Were you amongst those as your career paths, or did you have something on your own?
For sure. I mean, a lot of my mates, you're right, they were going off on gap years, traveling like Australia, Southeast Asia and everything. And I think, as I mentioned in the intro, I had this desire to become an actor, to start doing acting work in England. And I was able to start doing that. I started doing a tour of a one-person show, and that was when I left school when I was 18. I didn't really have this desire to travel. Like I said, I had those two trips, which gave me that little taste of something that I craved, but it wasn't really something that I saw as a career. Mind you, acting's also quite a tricky one to pursue as a career, but wanted to go for it anyway. Was able to kind of do it for a little bit at 18. I ended up doing a tour of a show around the country, culminating in 3 weeks in Edinburgh, which was fantastic. And so, I never really had that desire to go and do travel. Made acting my career for a little bit, and then got a little bit frustrated with it, to be honest. I was getting put up for auditions and constantly going to auditions, sitting in the casting room, and realized that everyone who was there looked exactly like me. I never really had a niche, and I just get put up for very generic things like friend or boyfriend or all these kind of things. And there wasn't really anything that really excited me by it. And I think this is where the love for travel came back in, because I got fed up with life in the UK. Just before I turned, when I was 20, I booked a one-way ticket to India pursue Bollywood. And this is where the two kind of career paths align in some way. I wanted to go out to India to make a name for myself in Mumbai as an actor. And booked a one-way ticket for 7 months' time to see if I could manage it.
And how did that go?
On my third day, I got into a Bollywood film. Just by pure chance, my second night, I was in a hostel, and there was this other English guy who was in there, who'd been approached by a casting researcher earlier that day. And he asked if I wanted to join as the only other Westerner in the hostel. And the film was starring a famous Bollywood actor called Aamir Khan. And yes. It was called Thugs of Hindustan, which I believe, it must have come out 6 years ago. And we were playing British jailers. And I didn't enjoy the experience. It wasn't kind of what I was expecting at all. I was treated very nicely on the film set for the day. Like, we were given food, we were looked after. We weren't paid a lot of money. The fee came to about, I think it was like 600 rupees for the day, which is around £6 for a day of filming, which isn't that great.
Wow.
But the thing that I didn't really like as much is the extras that they were using on the set. Actually, I shouldn't finish the sentence like that. The thing I didn't like had something to do with the extras on the set, not the thing I didn't like was the extras on the set. They, in Mumbai, there's this place called Dharavi, which is one of the largest slums in Asia. In the mornings, my understanding of the way they did this film was they drive to Dharavi and say they had a list of, okay, we need 10 men age 45 to 55, 6 women age 25 to 35. And they'd be like, okay, who wants to be in a Bollywood film? You. And they put them on the coach, drive them over to Film City in Bollywood. And they're on even less than us, right? And they were there all day, not even really looked after as well as us. And so it kind of made me think, that's not really something that I want to be part of. But I booked a one-way ticket to India and had to stick around for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I mean, did you regret that, or are you actually glad that you did it?
That I did the Bollywood film or the trip to India?
The trip to India.
Oh, no regrets at all. Like, it was, although it wasn't what I what I planned it to be, it was the most, it sounds silly, people talking about like finding yourself. And I don't think I did genuinely find myself, but doing that trip had a huge effect on where I am now. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you about travel if it wasn't for that trip.
It's very true. Very, very true. Now, at the start of the podcast, you mentioned that you're a travel blogger. Mm-hmm. So when did this interest in travel blogging begin?
I think probably, 2017 or no, 2016 was when I made my first video. The interest in it as a form, not an art form, it's not really art, was when I was much younger. I used to watch YouTubers on like days off school or whatever, or on weekends I'd sit down and watch like my favorite YouTube vloggers, people like Alfie Days, Zoella, Joe Sugg, like the classics. They were from Brighton, which is right by where I lived. Like, it felt so close and so exciting. And I love those videos of people documenting their lives. When I did my first trip in 2016, it was a solo trip to Romania, and I did it as practice for India. I made a video. Actually, no, I didn't even make a video then. I took a few photos and uploaded them on Facebook for my family. A few months later, I went to Slovenia. That was my first solo trip where I filmed. And I remember being on this big lake. It's called Lake Bled in Slovenia, in the northwest And I held up my phone and I was like, hey, I'm on a boat, and kind of just showed around. And it wasn't particularly interesting, but it was just to show my friends and family where I was. And like, look, this is exciting. I went to Bulgaria the next week and I did another video then, and more people were watching it. More people were talking about it, and was like, hey, this is actually quite fun. And yeah, wanted to continue doing it. So I created an Instagram account. Again, none of this is to an audience wider than friends and family, right? This is just posting to mom, dad, nan, and then a few mates. Like, it was never anything big, not even until recently. Bear in mind, this is like 7 years ago. I continue posting. Like, I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with it. I find it's a very superficial industry, right? You do it, and a lot of what you get booked jobs on is based on your likes and your following. It is a very superficial industry, but it is so fun and so rewarding. Like, going to these places, getting to see these incredible cities, countrysides, and then making videos about them and almost reliving them again straight after, and then sharing them with people and hopefully inspiring them to go off and do a similar trip. Yeah, so I continue doing it for years and years. And 2019, I got my first, like, not even a job. It was working with a hotel in Copenhagen. They gave me a free stay for me to take a few photos and post about it online. And that kind of gave me the drive to start pushing it even further.
There were two things I found really interesting what you said. And the first thing was, when you started making those videos back in 2016, 2017, I thought to myself, social media was so different back then compared to how it is now. I mean, now it's TikTok. Now we have Instagram that's just blowing up. Now you have YouTube as well. There's so many different platforms you can use, and everything exposed on social media can really be transferred and just be viral all of a sudden. And the second thing I noticed was, I think during the pandemic period, what was that like for you? I mean, traveling was definitely not an easy thing for a lot of people to do. So how did you make the most of it as a travel blogger?
Well, do you know what? The pandemic, it sounds very ironic for a travel blogger, but the pandemic actually really helped me out with making it a business. 2020, in like January 2020, like I say, I've been making videos and doing the travel blogging for about a year. And I think my mates were getting bored of me keep telling them stories about it. And so I decided to create a podcast. And I created this podcast in Jan, released my first episode in Feb. And then a few weeks later, all these kind of news stories started bubbling up about the everything that happened and everything. I was like, oh no, this isn't great, because the podcast was about travel. The tagline of it was taking your ears on a journey around the world. I bought myself a couple of mics, this one that I'm using now, and a little lapel mic, so that I could record as I'm in different countries. So you'd be hearing what I see, essentially. Like, if I'm walking through a market in Vietnam, you hear the little conversations of people going past, you hear people haggling, you hear the sizzling of things being cooked with the street food, and all those kind of things. That's what I wanted the podcast to be. And I had my first trip booked. It was a trip to Tbilisi in Georgia. And that was for April 2020. And then obviously everything happened and it got taken down. So I started telling all my old travel stories about when things went wrong on the road. The podcast was called The Worst Traveler. And that inspired me to then... I started to run out, to be honest. I started to run out of stories after a while. So I went to Instagram to people who I followed, started messaging them, interviewed people, and got them to tell their worst travel stories, and made it grow from there, like sharing audiences, and would release every week for about a year and a half.
Wow. That is a very interesting name, The Worst Traveler. I mean, I would think of it at first, is it the worst podcast? And then I would then think to myself, what inspired you? I mean, was there some sort of reaction inside of you that wanted to just hear out these stories? Is it a sense of the things that you see in life are not perfect? Was there some reason that you were trying to pull in? Is there something meaningful that you wanted to capture across through your podcast episodes and try to tell people or teach people a lesson about life or travel?
Definitely. There was, up to that point, like I said, I've been posting on Instagram for a little while, and a lot of the stuff that I'd seen, like travel influencer type people, where everyone always claims to be the best, or quite often I know the most about hotels. I know the most about cheap backpacking tips. People trying to kind of carve themselves out as the expert at this one particular thing. And I kind of thought, when I was trying to work something out, work out what my niche was, I was like, I don't really know a lot about much, but what I have had within me is a lot of like crazy experiences. And it's kind of fun to talk about those. Not people often don't want to hear about, I don't know, when you had a nice meal and you're in Paris and you got an early night in bed by 10. Like, it's not really that interesting. It's more those kind of adventures where people are walking the length of Africa's wildest rivers, getting charged by a bull elephant, getting held at gunpoint. Those are the ones that I think really capture people's imagination and show a real side to it as well. You know, you're kind of in this industry as well, Manav, and there can be a lot of stuff where people glamorize places when maybe they don't always need glamorizing. People have said enough about them, and sometimes quite often people can go to these places and realize that actually, do you know what, that wasn't as good as these people made out online. So I kind of felt by showing maybe the real side to some of my adventures, where yes, on Instagram the pictures can look very nice, just showing that real side hopefully maybe inspires people in some way and has a sense of familiarity.
I appreciate your response. And I think it also allows me to reflect on my own travel experiences, or just own perspective of how I talk to people from around the world and what they have to offer. I mean, we all like to say that we're the experts, but I feel like we're the experts in things that we've been through, our own experiences. I mean, experiences you go through are so unique. And I feel like if you can relate to someone who's gone through something so similar, that is one way to start building a powerful connection, or something that you both have in common. And I'm going to ask you this next question because I think I was just very curious about it. And that is that, what motivates you? I mean, what motivates you to get out of bed? What motivates you to want to travel and just live life?
It's a very...
don't mean to scare you.
Powerful question. No, I like it. Do you know what? Normally, I think I'm very... very unmotivated. I think I'm quite a lazy person, to be honest with you, Manav. maybe that's why I created a podcast just about the worst travel stories. I couldn't bother to kind of dig deep into the details of what makes something amazing. What motivates me in terms of making all this stuff, carving this out into my career, is I love entertainment. I used to love watching, still do, love watching telly, love watching films, love watching documentaries. I love feeling things, if that makes sense. And yeah. With acting as well, having an effect on someone, having an emotional effect on someone, I think is an incredible thing. Getting someone to feel something, getting them to laugh, getting them to smile is fantastic. Like, nothing beats that, right? Everyone wants to be happy. And if I, in some small way, by making a video of me somewhere having fun, telling someone an entertaining story, a travel story, if one person smiles from that or shares it with their friends and cheers them up, like, I think that's an incredible thing. And so, not that I feel like the worst traveler podcast is some kind of martyr thing where people are incredibly inspired by it, but it's just fun. It's easy. You don't really need to concentrate on it. Those are like my favorite shows, my favorite TV shows, right? Like The Office, Schitt's Creek, those kind of shows where you can have them on in the background. It's not like they're going to change your life, but they might make you smile, make you, change your mood in some way. And I suppose that's kind of what drives me on to continue doing this. I love making these videos. I was saying to you just before we started recording, there was this bit that I was really kind of working on in a hitchhiking video that I'm making at the moment. It's so medial. This little clip is seconds, but I just want it to be perfect. It's in the intro, not perfect. I want to make it as best as I can,
definitely,
because it's one of those things that has the impact straight away, and sets the whole thing up.
I think one thing, carrying on from what we said about creating reels, and at the moment, what are you up to now?
So I am trying to make major moves on YouTube. It sounds silly. I'm trying to make that my main channel. At the moment, it's my smallest channel. So it's quite a big task, but I'm gonna be uploading a lot of videos on there in the coming months. But actually, in less than 3 weeks' time, I move to Hong Kong. I've been in London, as I say, for 6 years now, 6-7 years, and it's time for me to to fly the nest. So yeah, I'm going to be in Hong Kong in 3 weeks for roughly 7 months minimum, I think, at the moment. And we'll see what happens. So yeah, an exciting time.
Definitely an exciting time. I mean, Hong Kong's my hometown, first of all. So now I feel like we kind of swapped places. I mean, I'm in the UK now and you're definitely going to my hometown. So definitely it's a nice change for you. I mean, I'm looking forward to obviously hear what you're going to accomplish and things you're going to do.
For sure. I'm going to be coming at you for lots of tips, man, I'll be honest.
No worries. No worries at all. Now we have one more question I would like to ask you. And that is, to end off the video, if there is anyone who is interested in becoming a travel blogger or wants to travel around the world, what would be your best piece of advice or one piece of advice you would give to them?
To be honest, if people want to become a travel blogger, there's such a low level of entry. There's such a low barrier of entry, rather. Anyone who has a phone, a connection to the internet can create something. There are so many YouTube videos that give people introductions on how to set up a website, how to start a podcast, how to set up an Instagram channel to 0 to 1,000 followers in 10 days, all these kind of things. And there really is, anyone I believe can do it. If you want to succeed, I think definitely finding a niche, something that makes you unique within the field, is vital. I think there's a lot of desire to get views and go viral and all these things. And the reality of it is you don't need that. A lot of the people who I've had videos that have done quite well in the past, it kind of has hindered me slightly, because you get this following that arrived for one particular thing, and because that was just a video that was viral because things were viral at the time, they're not really interested in everything else, and so you're stuck with this little weight of unengaged followers. So don't try and get that. Don't try and grow too quickly. Building a community is the most important thing, I think. Having this small hub of people who are genuinely interested in what you do, nothing beats that. There's I think there's a book called 1000 True Fans, you know that one, where I think the idea being that if you've got 1,000 people who are willing to buy something from you each year, like that's not a lot. Maybe they spend like 30 quid on you in a whole year. That's a full-time job, right?
Yeah.
Like if you, and that's what people call a small following, like 1,000 people. That's not a lot, but it can sustain you if they're engaged. That beats having 100,000, a million people who are just there because they saw one video of you, I don't know, doing something with a cup. I don't know. That's not a viral thing, but like I was thinking cup song. But those kind of things, people building loyalty, in answer to your question, is key. Finding something that people relate to as well is vital.
That was a very, very good answer. I mean, I've also learned from that. So yeah, I'm sure whoever's watching right now, I'm sure they'll definitely take something from that for sure.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom, for joining us here today. For people who would like to get in touch or learn more about you, what would be the best way for them to reach out?
My Instagram is Tom J Page, TomJPage. That's where my more kind of relatable stuff, me, is all based. Other than that, The Worst Traveler is on all other platforms. So YouTube, The Worst Traveler. There's videos of me with witches hitchhiking across continents. Go and have a look at that. That's my main thing.
Thanks, Tom. And if you've watched this video, make sure to give it a subscribe, thumbs up. A new video will be out shortly. In the meantime, thanks so much, Tom, for joining us here today, and speak to you again soon.
Thank you for having me.